an internet article entitled Myths Surrounding Jesus' Birth. It hosted by the Ontario Consultants on Religious Tolerance makes the following statements concerning the celebration of Christmas. And I quote, "During the celebration of Christmas, familiar images are recalled in hymns and scripture about the birth of Jesus. In the popular mind, the appearance of herald angels, shepherds abiding in the fields, the Star of Bethlehem, the Virgin Mary giving birth in the stable, and the adoration of the Magi have all been melded into one Christmas story. In reality, there are in the Gospels two distinct and at times contradictory stories of Jesus' birth. A careful reading of the Bible itself reveals that so much about this celebrated birth is a myth." I'm glad I didn't hear anyone say amen. "Dating December 25th as the birthday of Jesus is known to have gained popularity only by the mid-4th century in order that Christians could have an alternative to a popular pagan festival at this time of year. December 25th was the winter solstice according to the old Julian calendar, and it was on that day that Mithraism, a chief rival to Christianity, celebrated the birth of the god Mithra. It is unlikely that we shall ever know exactly when Jesus was born. Scholars estimate sometime between 12 and 4 B.C. Which is interesting because scholars, quote-unquote, actually estimate the time of Jesus' birth anywhere between 12 B.C. and 4 A.D. Which is interesting. Jesus was born 4 years after Jesus came. But anyway, and these are all scholars. And to be quite honest tonight and truthful, I am going to share a lot about dating with you, and there is not conclusive evidence, absolutely conclusive evidence, to support what I'm going to say. I think there is reasonable evidence, though. Anyway, it is unlikely that we shall never know exactly when Jesus was born or the real circumstances surrounding his nativity. We can, however, attempt to separate historical fact from literary fiction. For many Christians, to question the description of Jesus' birth as related in the Bible is unthinkable. They believe that the Bible is the Word of God, an infallible record of the Almighty's influence on his creation, and therefore to be taken at face value. However, a careful study of the nativity narratives of Matthew and Luke indicate that supposedly unerring word of God is full of contradictions and inventions. The most plausible conclusion is that the familiar Christmas stories in Matthew and Luke are religious myths awkwardly grafted onto an earlier non-miraculous tradition about Jesus' birth. Matthew claims that the birth of Jesus occurred in the reign of Herod, the great of Judea, a puppet king of the Romans, whom we know died in 4 B.C. Luke also tells us that Jesus' birth happened during Herod's reign. Luke even adds what appears to be a detailed and historical evidence of the period. He writes that Jesus was born during a census or registration of the populace ordered by Emperor Augustus at that time, that Quirinius or Cyrenius, the first is a Latin name, the second is a Greek equivalent of it, was Roman governor of Syria. In reality, there has to be a fabrication because Quirinius was not governor of Syria and Judea during Herod's kingship. Direct Roman rule over the province of Judea, where Bethlehem was located, was not established until 6 A.D. In other words, 10 years separated the rule of Quirinius from Herod. If the census did take place, it was in the year 6 A.D., long after Herod's death. Therefore, Matthew's stories of the wise men's visit to Herod and the Christ child, and Herod's massacre of the innocents, which caused the Holy Family to flee to Egypt, are all historically impossible. Moreover, it should be noted that Luke also got his facts wrong about the census of Augustus. Such an imperial census would only apply to Roman citizens of the empire, not to Joseph, a Galilean who was not under direct Roman rule. Do you realize that if this article is correct, We got it all wrong. The question is, when was Jesus born? Two passages of Scripture, as this article correctly tells us, one found in the Gospel of Matthew and one found in the Gospel of Luke, give us some historical dating to ascertain when Jesus was born. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and this is from Matthew's Gospel of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Oops, I want to get the other one. I'm sorry about that. First one, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Well, Caesar Augustus, in order to make a decree, has to be alive. So let's figure out when Caesar Augustus lived, and we can start narrowing down exactly when Christ was born. We know from secular history that the reign of Caesar Augustus began on March the 15th, 44 B.C. So Jesus must be born sometime after that, obviously, and that's not too hard to figure out. Augustus died on August the 19th, 14 A.D. His reign came to an end. And therefore, Jesus has to be born within that parameter. So that narrows it down some. He was also born in the days of Herod. So we go back to our timeline, and we know that the reign of Herod began somewhere around the year 40 B.C. There is some discussion, some debate as to the exact date when he took place, but it was right around 40 B.C. And really, this beginning of Herod's reign is somewhat inconsequential to the subject because it's far removed from Jesus' birthday. However, when did Herod die? As this article says, the traditional date has been 4 B.C., which would mean that Jesus had to be born before 4 B.C., and the traditional date for Jesus' birth has been 6 to 5 B.C., anywhere in that time frame. Traditionally, the church has either celebrated December 25th, which would be 6 B.C., or the Eastern Orthodox Church recognizes January 6th as the birth of Christ, which would then be 5 B.C., in order to be ahead of Herod's demise. However, there is some new research that has come out. And by the way, Herod's death was put at this time because of the writings of Josephus, a Jewish historian who lived in the days of Jesus and thereafter. And Josephus, while he wasn't writing under inspiration, gave us a lot of historical background. However, the translation of some of his works and his original works we do not have, but copies of them, they have found that there's a real possibility that there was a mistake in the translation and the copying of his things. And it now appears that actually Herod the Great died in the year 1 B.C. Now, this is interesting because we're going to find out that, as you know, the story, the wise men came to Herod. He called in the scribes to ask where Jesus was born. And he said, "Now I want you to go down and worship, and you come back and tell me where he was. I'd like to go worship him too." And when the wise men didn't come back, he ordered the killing of the babies that were 2 years old and under. And because of that statement, they placed the visiting of the wise men. Some people do it at 2 years after the birth of Christ. The problem with that, Herod wasn't alive 2 years after the birth of Christ. So he couldn't have ordered the massacre of them. I think all Herod was doing was making sure that he got everybody and none was missed. The next thing that we find out was that there was a decree that went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. The word tax there literally means to be registered. Not necessarily that they had to pay a tax, but they wanted to take a census. Now, generally, when a census was taken, the tax followed that. But the Scripture really doesn't say that the whole world should be taxed, and that will be important in just a moment. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And according to this article, that didn't happen until 6 AD, which presents a problem. Well, would you notice what it says here? And this taxing was first made. There is a interesting word in there, the word first. For a long time, all the evidence was that Cyrenius was governor at 6 AD, but they have now found historical evidence that he was governor before that. In fact, he was governor between the years 3 BC and 2 BC. Well, isn't that interesting? You have a registration going out when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and which could have been between 3 and 2 BC, from Caesar Augustus, that the whole world should be registered. Herod has to be alive at this point in time, and if he died in 1 BC, he would be alive at this point in time. And Jesus was born during that time. Well, that so far fits. Why would Caesar Augustus require the whole world to be registered? Well, if you do a little historical investigation into Herod the Great, you'll find out he was a, what's a nice word? Character. That's being very nice. Herod had his will changed three times, each time having one of his sons being his successor to the throne. Oh, by the way, Herod recognized that he was not the rightful king of the Jews. And he was very superstitious. He was very jealous of his throne. And he wanted to make sure that no one took the throne that he didn't rightly deserve away from him. When his one son that he had named successor to the throne didn't prove to be the man that he wanted to be, he had his own son executed. Now, in order to do that, he had to get Roman permission. So Herod would have to send off to Caesar Augustus and say, look, I want my son here to be heir to the throne. And then later on he says, you know, I don't want my son to be heir. I want to change my will. Caesar Augustus would have to okay the changing of the will. And therefore, Caesar Augustus had to be scratching his head and saying, you know what, there's something going on down there. There's a lot of problems here. And, of course, the changing of the will didn't necessarily have to come by. Herod or Caesar Augustus already knew that there were a lot of problems with Herod and his relationship with the people. Knowing that there was going to be a change in the leadership, it was probable, therefore, that Caesar Augustus would want to know exactly how many people there were in the area of Judea. And, therefore, this decree would be probable that for him to send out, not necessarily for taxing purposes, but just so that he could maintain some order in the kingdom. Well, that all seems to fit, but there is actually some more information. Two more passages of Scripture that don't necessarily deal with the incarnation itself, but give us some historical background. First is in Luke chapter 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, mark that, if you will, 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Tiberius is the one who succeeded Caesar Augustus. So when Augustus dies, Tiberius follows in his place. Well, we know when Augustus died, so we can figure out what year this was. And in context, this is when John the Baptist begins his ministry. Later on in verse 23 of Luke chapter 3, it says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, and he came down to John, who had been baptizing there, and Jesus was baptized at about 30 years of age. Now, he began to be about. The idea is he was in the early part of whatever birthday it was at this time of year. About 30 years, so he could be 30 years old, he could be 29 years old, he could be up to and including 32 years of age. There's a little leeway in there as to exactly how old he was. Now let's go back. We want to put in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar and mark that at that point in time, Jesus was about 30 years old. So we go back here and we find out that John's ministry, if we add 15 years on to August the 19th, 14 A.D., we come to 29 A.D. Jesus was about 30 years old at that point in time. We'll take 30 years off of that, going backwards, and we're somewhere before 1 B.C. Isn't that interesting how that all works out? Oh, and by the way, if we do one other thing, we will find out that if you take the dating of the edict from Cyrus, the king, allowing the Israelites to go back and to rebuild Jerusalem according to Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and the 70 weeks that are determined, the date of the crucifixion becomes April the 3rd, 33 A.D. In fact, the prophecy until Messiah the Prince shall come was exactly March the 30th, 33 A.D. Jesus being about 33 and some odd months or thereabouts old, put them right back. All the historical evidence given in Scripture concerning the birth of Christ all leads us back to sometime in the area of 2 to 3 B.C. You know what? As I mentioned this morning about the Hivites, when the scholars, quote-unquote, said that, well, you can't trust the Bible because there were no such thing as Hivites. Here this group or fellow or whoever it was that wrote this thing said, you can't trust the Bible because all these things, they don't add up. Archaeology and history are now telling us that exactly what the Bible says is true, is plausible. Now, let me say quickly, too, some of these dates, like the date of Jesus' death, there's a lot of controversy about that. We know, according to the Passover, and which comes at a full moon, we know with the writings of Josephus that there was a lunar eclipse right after Herod's death, and there were a number of lunar eclipses, but there is one that fits in right at 1 B.C. But some of these things are debatable, but here's a scenario that says everything that Scripture says about the birth of Christ is historically accurate. Now, the next question is, if Jesus was born around 3 to 2 B.C., was it in the winter? Was December the 25th the accurate date, January the 6th the accurate date, or some other date? Some have suggested that December the 25th was not actually the date that Jesus was born, but the date that Jesus was actually conceived. In fact, they would say if you go from there and take a full 9 months, that Jesus would be born on the day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is significant because John in his Gospel said, and the Word became flesh, and literally, he tabernacled amongst us. And that would be fitting that on the Feast of Tabernacles that Jesus actually came into this earth, which would be in the middle of September. That's a possibility, but I'm not too sure that it's actually the time of year that is accurate. In 525 A.D., Pope John the First asked a monk by the name of Dionysius to come up with a standard calendar. And on this calendar that Dionysius came up with, he declared that December 25th was the day that Christ was born. Now, what reasoning he had for that, I have no idea. A man by the name of Hippolytus, who lived from 165 A.D. to 235, declared that Jesus was born on December 25th. Now, that's getting pretty close back to the time. You know, that's only 200 years removed from the date of Jesus' birth, but probably there was still evidence around concerning that date. Chrysostom, one of the church fathers, in 386, officially set the date of December 25th as the date that Jesus was born. Now, the objection to the midwinter date is the verse in Luke's gospel that says that there were shepherds keeping their flocks in the field by night. And it was said that shepherds would not be keeping their fields because it's too cold out there. They would have had the sheep indoors. And sheep would have been in the fields in the summertime or the spring or the fall, but not midwinter. Well, that's not necessarily true. In fact, the scripture seems to say otherwise. Back in those times, the sheep were taken out into the wilderness areas during the spring, summer, and fall. But during the winter, they were brought back in around the cities. So in that they were just right outside of Bethlehem would seem to indicate that it was a wintertime birth. Also, in that area of the world, December is usually a fairly mild month. The coldest time of the year is the end of February and the beginning of March. If any time the sheep were indoors, it would be then. But the Mishnah, a collection of Jewish writings, said that sheep around Bethlehem literally would be outside all year round, and that the sheep that were specifically used for the Passover would be out in the fields for observation, because you remember the Passover lamb had to be observed for a period of time. So these sheep were specially groomed, so to speak, for the Passover. Well, the Passover could come as early as February, and therefore they would have to be out in the fields at least a month in advance of that. So having sheep in the fields around Bethlehem in January is not a problem at all. And if they could be in there in January, December is even better. So it's very probable that the date of December 25th is relatively accurate. The fact of the matter is we will never know, at least as far as I can see, unless there be some unique unearthing of some archaeological evidence that we haven't found yet, whether it's December 25th or December 24th or January the 6th or the 7th. But a midwinter date seems very probable. So when we celebrate December 25th as the birth of Christ, there is a good or a reasonable probability we are doing so on the right day. Now, having said all that, and I'm sure you've written down all these dates and you're going to go home and commit them all to memory, what's the purpose of all of this? What difference does it make? That, by the way, was the introduction to the message. Turn in your Bibles, finally, to Luke chapter 1. And I guarantee the body of the message will be over in 45 seconds. Luke chapter 1. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Wait a minute, what would be the very first? Well, from the very first is the birth of Christ. To write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Luke in his gospel, and Matthew also in his, but Luke particularly, sets down all these historical facts concerning the birth of Christ. And he says, I have perfect understanding. We most surely believe these things. These are that you might know with certainty those things. If what Luke wrote wasn't historically accurate, then what he wrote concerning the spiritual aspect of the ministry of Christ is not accurate or worthy to be believed also. If Jesus wasn't born when the Bible says that he was, throw it out. It's not worth reading. But praise God, he was born then. there is reasonable evidence to believe that the Bible is absolutely accurate. That's it. I'm done. Let's pray. Father, tonight we once again stand in awe of the little details of your word. Just little things like Jesus was about 30 years of age when he was baptized, and the reign of Cyrenius, and how it seems to be now that history has told us that he had two reigns, and the evidence of all the things on earth that prove that the Bible once again is true. We just take you at your word, Lord, and we trust you to accomplish exactly what you say that you will. Give us an increase in our faith tonight. Maybe not necessarily the dates and the complexities of this message tonight, but maybe we can go out this week, Lord, and share with somebody who objects to celebrating Christmas at this time of year as a pagan concession that the Word of God is true. Maybe we'll have opportunity to share with them that the God of the Word is true also, and how Christ died for them on Calvary's cross and was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures on the third day and lives forevermore and offers eternal life to all who believe. Lord, encourage us tonight with these things and make us faithful witnesses, just as Luke sought to be a faithful witness in his day and age. And we'll praise you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' most blessed name. Amen. Have